And in this segment of the program, we're joined by Doug Wheelock, who is a NASA astronaut.
That's correct.
Current astronaut. And Doug, welcome to Oshkosh.
Thank you very much. This is my first year at Oshkosh, and so it was on my bucket list. It was like, fly in space, I got that checked, and then go to Oshkosh, and it's my first year, so it's really great to be here. Thank
great.
You.
How many days have you been here so far?
So I came in on Sunday evening.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've been like a little kid in a candy store, you know, it's just amazing, and it's just been an incredible experience. And so.
Just before we went on air, of course, this program is also on the big screen TVs, and we're looking at the cameras and things, and Doug said, is it okay if I look at the flight line? I said, oh, of course, especially when the interesting airplanes go by.
Absolutely.
That's why we're here. Doug, you kind of came to NASA in an unusual way. Most of the astronauts that I've had the pleasure of meeting either come from the Air Force or the Navy.
That's correct.
You're retired from the Army.
From the Army, yeah, that's right. And so I cut my teeth in helicopters. You know, I first learned to fly in a helicopter and flew helicopters for 8 or 9 years and transitioned into fixed wing. And went to the Navy Test Pilot School, and then through that program and meeting some test pilots, began to learn that, hey, maybe I can take my shot for NASA as well.
Was your first experience in aviation through the military, or did you
yes.
have some experience?
Yeah, I was. I grew up in upstate New York, kind of out in the country, and I always just dreamed of flying. You know, I built my own little cardboard airplanes, you know, and pretended I was flying around, and and, you know, didn't have the opportunities when I was a young kid to learn to fly. So I thought, like, let me go. I get asked a lot. I went to West Point, but why didn't you go to the Air Force Academy or the Naval Academy or something, you know? So West Point offered me a chance to really cut my teeth in helicopters, really learn the engineering behind flight. And it was a tremendous. I had never looked back. So
great. When did you graduate from the academy?
Can you hear me?
Many years ago, 1983. So it's funny, they call me, my last name is Wheelock, so they call me Wheels at NASA.
Sure.
So everybody knows me by Wheels. And now the young guys up on the space station, I train them all how to do spacewalks and things. And so now they call me Papa Wheels. So anyway.
You're not that old. It's okay. It's all right. You've got many more years
yes, absolutely.
In front of you. You've been to space.
Yes.
On the shuttle. Right. First, and then the International Space Station.
That's correct.
What's the contrast in those two
goodness,
kinds of missions?
I mean, so I got a chance to go up on the Space Shuttle Discovery in 2007. And then in 2010, I went up and back on a Russian Soyuz.
Right.
Much different. This, you know, the U.S. Space Shuttle was, the beauty of the Space Shuttle was in its complexity. And it was very complex, and we built in redundancy. So we had several layers of redundancy, and quite the opposite for the Russians. The Soyuz, very safe, very reliable, but the beauty of the Soyuz is in the simplicity of the vehicle, and so much different ride, much different interaction, human interface to the vehicle as well. So what a great ride on both of them.
And how long were you on the space station?
So I was up there for 6 months, and so I was the commander of the space station, and it's quite an experience, and you know, being up there for 6 months was much different than my 15-day mission on the space shuttle. When I went up in 2007, we built, sort of constructed part of the space station, and then I went up 3 years later to command that very same space station. And I was shocked at how, first of all, looking out the window at the beauty of the Earth was just amazing to me. I could never really fully get my mind around it. But I realized early on that space is a harsh environment on our equipment inside and outside as well. So, you know, just keeping things repaired. And I remember into my 6 month mission, I was there for 2 weeks, and Shannon Walker, a brilliant PhD scientist, woman astronaut with us at NASA, she came up to me. She said, "Hey, the potty's broken." I was like, "Well, I'm an engineer and a test pilot. I can fix the potty." She said, "If you fix the potty, I'll do all of your science." And so that's a deal. So I learned to fix the potty right away on the space station. And I figured out, when you fix the potty, if you could fix a potty on the spacecraft, you're like king of the universe. You know, so, yeah.
How long did it take you to recover from 6 months of zero gravity?
Yeah, so, you know, some things never return. I actually wear glasses now, so my vision was damaged. So for those interested in that kind of met the medical aspects of returning from space. There's a lot of research out there now, vision impairment in long-duration astronauts, lots of papers that are out there now. So we're trying to figure out what's happening to the human body. When you come back, you have balance things and things like that. I noticed I didn't work out my neck muscles. So when I got back to Earth, I was standing up big and strong and my neck hurt. And I was like, oh, yeah, in space, my head was just kind of floating there. Right. I didn't have to use those neck muscles. So we have exercise countermeasures now for our long-duration flyers. But some things linger for more than just a few days, actually.
Really? We're talking with NASA's astronaut Doug Wheelock and first-time visitor to Oshkosh. Doug, what's coming up in the future? I know the NASA administrator has made some sort of bold statements about going back to the moon and looking at Mars missions.
Yes, we're very excited about going deeper into space. Right. And it's kind of our charter as at NASA to just go and do things that we haven't tried yet. You know, so now going to the moon, you might ask, well, it's a great way to a launch point to go on to Mars as well. And so now that we have life support systems and technology demonstrators that we're proving out on the space station, now we want to take those to a base. We want to have an orbiting platform around the moon. It's called Gateway. And we can deploy to Gateway, then down to the lunar surface and back. And we could do science on the lunar surface as well. We're targeting for our first mission, the south pole of the moon, because we've determined if you look real close with a telescope, you can actually see a mountain range at the very south pole of the moon. And actually, where we landed our Apollo missions, you get your lunar day is 14 days and your lunar night is 14 days. But right. Down at the peak of this mountain range, on either side of the range, you can almost get continuous sunlight. And so we can draw solar energy to run our equipment there on the surface of the moon.
Wow. It's almost the stuff of science fiction when I was growing up, but it is very close to being reality.
It really is. And the big difference here, now Apollo was a big push, kind of, you know, centrally located, you know, housed at NASA. Now it's a little bit different. We actually are going kind of lockstep with our commercial partners and our international partners as well. So it's a big team with NASA as the prime integrator. So we're trying it a little bit differently, which can help us. It helps us in the way of innovation. Mm-hmm. You know, we come up with these tremendous ideas from, you know, space startups, you know, to the normal players you see in the space business in the aerospace world. And so we're very excited about a resurgence and the excitement in space in the commercial base of our entire country. And so now everyone can play a part, and we can all have a little piece of the pie heading out to the moon.
Good. And from there, it's off to Mars then.
That's right. That's right. Now, Mars, we're still trying to prove out our systems, and it's going to take us probably 8 or 9 months to get to Mars. And then once we're there, though, the alignment of the planets, we're going to have to stay for about a year and then 8 or 9 months back. So there's a lot we need to do, and we're going to use the moon as our proving ground, and we'll have this gateway orbiting the moon as well. So John Young, who walked on the moon on Apollo 16, the commander of the very first space shuttle as well, I remember him saying, it's like, you know, on the space station, you're only a few hours from a can of beans. On the moon, you're only a few days from a can of beans. And so you want to make sure that before you head out to Mars that you got all these systems, all the bugs worked out of these systems.
So what I'm hearing is that similar to the Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo missions that all built upon each other and proved technology going all the way through, and that was a very compact time frame, this would be the same scenario.
That's right.
Prove that it works in space.
That's right.
And then
that's
and
right.
learn
it's
from
much
it.
Much the
on.
Way we do things as a test pilot or as pilots, we don't normally go outside the envelope. We know where sort of the envelope is, and so we pick a point that's pretty safe, and then we kind of take data points as we march toward what we feel is the end of a particular flight envelope. And we're doing the same thing, just a logical buildup to using and deploying our technologies. So.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. So do you think you'll be going into space again sometime soon?
I would love to. And it's funny because I kidded earlier that they call me Papa Wheels now, the young ones. And so I wanted to go back, and I want to go back still. And so I don't know if it'll be possible, but my family said, Dad, why don't you let the young ones do it now? And so so the last several years I've been training our young, in fact, our U.S. astronauts and our international partners on the space station now. I train them. And so I was actually kind of nicely surprised to find how an unbelievable amount of joy you can get from experiencing space through someone else's eyes as well. So I think I would love to go, but I'm going to selflessly step aside and let our young ones, but I'm going to be right there at the first one in the front row cheering them on. So.
Excellent. So. And, you know, growing up, lots of kids have different ideas of what they want to do in life, but astronaut is continues to be a viable career path if that's what you strive for.
Absolutely. And one of the key things that was a breakthrough moment for me actually came from Neil Armstrong when I was a kid, I was a young boy when I watched people walking on the moon. I thought, man, that is crazy. But I was in a small school, and our teacher said, like, you know, you can do that too one day. And I thought, this woman is crazy, you know. But then I got, years later, I was selected as an astronaut. 3 days later, I met Neil Armstrong for the first time. And so I was talking to him, and I was kind of nervous, you know. What am I going to ask Neil Armstrong? You know, so I asked him if, you know, when he was on the moon, did he have a moment where he realized what a profound moment it was in human history? He said, you know, I thought about how does an ordinary little boy from Wapakoneta, Ohio, end up standing on the moon? I said, we all kind of chuckled, and I said, hey, wait a second, that's my story. And the reality is, it's a story for all of us. We're all just ordinary kids from ordinary places, and with a love for flight and adventure. And so So it became reality for me at that point. It was like, I can't believe I went my entire life. I thought back on my fourth grade teacher, and I said, she was right. You know, it's like, we're all just ordinary kids from ordinary places. So.
Amazing. Amazing story, Doug. Thank you for being with us today. And welcome again to Oshkosh. Is there any aircraft that you've seen so far that just is like, you know, I might want one of those?
How much time? We only have a couple minutes left. So I've just seen some amazing aircraft. I spent way too much time down by the warbirds, I think. I was just like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. So I don't want to pick out one because I've got a whole list of them. But okay. I'll get back to you tomorrow before the end of the show. So
it sounds good. Doug, thanks again for being with us. And enjoy the rest of your time here at Oshkosh.
Awesome. Thank you.
That's
so going
to wrap our show for today. Tomorrow, we're going to visit with a couple of NOAA hurricane hunters. Find out about that kind of flying. There's a very special steerman on the field that we'll find more out about, and they have a veterans-focused mission. And we'll catch up with a few other folks on our program. We've got some schedule changes coming because all things Oshkosh are fluid, especially with schedules. So that's going to wrap our show for today.